What?
I'm jumping in.
Sounds like that's what's happening.
Yeah.
So wait, we're not gonna do a 23 so long not, minute cold so open. We're not
I think this is the cold open.
Oh,
Spencer,
okay.
Take it away.
Christ Jesus. No, you know what? Stop. No, I want to do this first.
There are many. There are many opinions on weather.
This is like watching a catcher and a pitcher just scream at each other. Hey, I said, don't throw the ball. Hey.
Here's the best part.
You were on my side.
I still am on your side.
You also wanted to do this. For those of you who maybe haven't been online, we have some. It's not disturbing.
It's crucial, though.
Yeah, it maybe, you know, the passage of time has no emotion.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, in our Reddit 4 days ago, user Heavy Lunch posits. And here's the post quote, a fifth era of horses. And he's quoting the April 9th episode, era one, horses before man rode them. Era two, horses ridden pre-saddles. Era three, horses ridden with saddles. Era four, horses will ride man in the future. And he posts today a historical photo from the Pistol Lily Ranch Tack Shop, which discusses horse diving between the late 1890s and 1930. Now, I don't like to think that we're all getting old, but eventually, if we keep this up long enough, new generations will come into the show. And that means eventually we're going to get listeners who have never heard of the 1991 Disney film Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken, which is dearly beloved to both Ryan and myself.
On the list of inspirational stories for families, maybe, mm-hmm. question mark, to watch mm-hmm. about horse diving and overcoming blindness caused by it, mm-hmm. number one on the list. Oh, not even sure who's number two.
Probably is it about a real horse diver? Yes, yes, Sonora Webster Carver. Does the movie star Gabrielle Anwar of, at the time, 1992 Disney's Three Musketeers and later Burn Notice
yes.
fame?
Yes.
Also, yes. Oh.
Is it better than the Ben Affleck Daredevil? Yes.
Oh, 1,000%.
And more action-packed.
Why was that the movie that came to mind, Ryan?
Because it's two movies about blind people overcoming the limitations set before them.
Daredevil doesn't even ride a horse.
He doesn't even know what a horse is, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, how would he know? Yeah, exactly. How would Daredevil know what a horse is?
You can't fit a horse in his apartment.
No way.
Yeah, no way.
It's not hell's stable.
Spencer, completely impractical.
Man, Hell's Stable would be such a good name for a development, by the way.
Did the cinematographer of this movie go on to become the cinematographer of Let's Be Cops? Yes, thank mm-hmm. you, Darren Okada. Yep.
I do want Horse Kingpin.
Really big.
Wait.
Imagine how wide that horse would be.
Is it Kingpin who's a horse, or is it Kingpin's horse?
I went Minotaur Kingpin.
Minotaur Kingpin.com.
Anyway, I invite everybody who was surprised by this fifth era of horses to head to your nearest Blockbuster Video, or just find whichever earlier episode Ryan and I are hollering about Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken. There's at least three or four of them where we just completely derailed the show to talk about this movie, where indeed it involves a girl in like a 1930s circus dress riding a horse up a big wooden spiral ramp and diving it into a tank.
And you may wonder why. Why did such a thing happen? Because this is what passed for entertainment.
You think people are worried now about kids spending too much time on their phones?
They used to dive horses. Jump them into the damn water.
Yeah.
We
used to come home after dark after we jumped all of our horses off the carny platforms and went blind.
Yeah, Skibbity Toilet is a fine substitute for this. I'm good for it, yeah.
We also received an email.
Anyway, thanks for trying to delay that, Spencer.
You're welcome.
Horse time travel is the most important topic this podcast can cover. We received an email with the title, the subject line, The Inspector Gadget Horse Paradox. This is from Roger, who is a teacher in middle school, and said one of his students finished his assignment early and asked what he could do, and he suggested that he ponder the medieval horse times horse question. At the end of class, he came back with the following thoughts. Number one, horses had a different understanding of time before being colonized by people. Number two, horse sense of time was whitewashed by people and turned and buried in generational trauma. Number three, as a result, some of history's greatest horses were lost in the flow of time. One of the greatest phrases I have ever been sent via email. I'm going to say it again. Some of history's greatest horses were lost in the flow of time. That's some shit you'd get in a Zelda game.
That's actually how you get mini horses. It's when they pluck them out on the way to the quantum realm.
And current horses have lost house themselves horses. In the same swirl. He calls this the Inspector Gadget paradox, where medieval times only serves to reify this distorted sense of time and space, cementing horse memory in the times in which they have been subjugated, much like how Inspector Gadget should have memories of his time before becoming a cyborg, but does not.
Wait, do we think this emailer is telling the truth?
What
middle schooler knows the word reify? Is this a time traveler?
Okay. I have a feeling that this is a social studies teacher.
Okay.
And
okay.
I think this teacher is adding some of their own language.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But I do think this is this feels very much like the theory of a seventh grader who finished the quiz early.
To the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. Sometimes we dabble in equine time travel.
Not
you know?
Sometimes. All the time.
All the time.
Dabble. People wouldn't be coming to us with their concerns if we were dilettantes.
But there are so many concerns.
They're growing.
We can only afford to dabble, I think.
I mean, I think I'd like to say that we're just professionals about everything, including horse travel.
Yeah, we know a lot more. We're only telling you a little bit.
That's what a dilettante is.
Yeah.
We're just open to dilettantes.
We're withholding most of our information on this topic.
That's right.
Behind the paywall that we won't tell you about. The secret horse.
We only pay each other for that information.
Just put a little horse to dive into the tank.
These are the real horsey books, and we won't give them to you.
Well, I do like you have to click the horse on the podcast. Someone just looked at their phone to see where the horse is.
Mm-hmm. Shit.
They got me.
There's an entire archive of even dumber shit that we talk about that's kept behind a paywall.
That's the good stuff. No. That's the smart shit.
I like that this makes Cerber like Prince being like, nah, this has got to stay in the vault until
this is too hot. This one's too hot.
He's got 800
ain't ready for
hours,
this one.
800 hours of full cast that can't be released until 15 years after his death.
They ain't ready for this one, but their kids are going to love it.
It's the Paisley Park archives of brain damage just lurking behind the paywall.
Can we talk? Have you guys heard about the time I saw this circulating on Instagram today? I don't know if it's a recent article or if there's like a Bourne Identity Films oral history out. But Julia Stiles was talking about attending the Bourne Ultimatum premiere in London, and Prince actually came to it and then got tickets for the cast to come see him perform. And she uses the word summoned, which I think is absolutely correct. She said, mm-hmm. We were summoned into a room to meet him after the show, and Matt Damon is attempting to make small talk with Prince, which, oh, Jesus. And Matt Damon says, so you live in Minnesota. I hear you live in Minnesota. And Prince said, I live inside my own heart, Matt Damon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I've heard that one. So it's good this is recirculating. This is worth remembering.
Thank you to Noah Malingram for putting this back on the timeline for no reason whatsoever.
The context in which I saw it was on Pablo Torre's show today. They're talking about Caleb Williams and about how Caleb Williams cries. And NFL people have a problem with that. And one anonymous NFL personnel person was like, he's the prince of college, like the musical artist, the prince of college quarterbacks.
And a prince shall lead them.
And everybody's like, that would be awesome. Why would that be bad? Why would you not want Prince? Like, Prince was, at least musically, a very good teammate. a very, very fucking good teammate.
He'll play all the instruments himself, which is kind of USC last year.
And he'll give you, and he'll let you take credit for, like, he'll build a whole band, and that's like, you play this music. It's mine, but you can have it. Congratulations, Morris Day in the time.
Yeah.
How was this meant as... So this was meant as a criticism?
This was meant as a criticism.
Like how?
They've been mad at him since he painted cusses on his nails. They
yeah, oh, 100%. It's more, it's like Prince was too esoteric. Is it possible to read this as like Prince was too feminine? And that's a thing we're worried about with this quarterback too? Sure. Entirely possible. But, Prince,
but is Caleb Williams going to get too much ass as an adult? That's what I'm reading this as. You're like, oh, yeah, the prince of quarterbacks. And you're like, you mean he's just going to have a lot of sex?
I hear what's happening here. This evaluator's wife said, that guy's pretty good looking. can't let her look at the football anymore.
And spotted the monitor and just very, a little too casually, was like, oh, who's that?
Yeah. The quarterbacks used to be ugly, but now they're not because of woke.
I want a quarterback painting his teammates' nails.
I want Terry Bradshaw going bald at 20. Bring it back.
All that DEI shrank their pores. Bring back our weird faces.
Bring back Kenny Stabler looking like the Grim Reaper at 9.
Hell, he watched his dad fight his uncle at the dump in Foley. I mean, that'll age you, right?
We need ugly guys. They used to say, like, I like my linemen ugly. Now they want quarterbacks ugly, too. They just want disgusting creatures throughout the roster. Oh, it's awful. Women hate it. I love it.
Of all of the various diktats you could have for a position, the funniest one to me is, I want beautiful, handsome boys at defensive line. That's all I want.
Deadpool's my kind of quarterback. That's what I want.
Less just, Dead Poets Society, more Deadpool.
I just want a sexy, luscious, curvaceous punter. That's all I want.
Punter's got to have a dog. It's got to be halfway up his back.
There was an article at The Athletic about, I forget which coach it was, it was Andy Reid. Would you check in with his punter once a year, speak to him once a year, like, hey, your butt's still big. Guess we'll see you next year.
How's the outboard engine?
It was literally his only feedback for his punter every year is like, butt's looking great. Keep it up. That's your powerhouse, you know.
See, that's the annual physical that Americans crave.
Yeah, that's all I want to hear. Be affirmed.
I just want the doctor to tell me if my dunk is good or not.
Coach, how's my wagon?
Specific ass approval.
Well, your ass has dropped half an inch from last year, but that's normal.
The top of the crack stays exactly where it was.
But it's dropping because it's bigger. Let's keep it going.
Yeah. It's like a heavy thing on the trailer hitch.
Queen on that thing. I'm sorry, I'm learning something about the queen.
So I have to do the draft on Friday night on ESPN, and I'm told
you got to do the draft today.
Let's put all this out of your system.
I do have to do the draft, so that means I have to get all of the butt talk out of the way, right?
Do you?
Nope.
Oh, I do. Yeah, you definitely won't say anything like that.
Cologne, I know you're listening to this. Keep his mic keyed on.
Have you seen the onion on that guy?
Can we
I'm an Outback?
Can we right now program you to just talk about J.J. McCarthy's butt? It's all you
it
can say about him.
It actually might be easier than you think, because they've lopped off a lot of the seniority on this digital broadcast team, and it's him and Harry.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah, yeah. You think
we're
Mike Mayock talks about
butt. We're going to have some
fun.
Harry, who's been working out, so there's a lead into the butt talk.
Harry's doing muscle-ups on the bar at the L.A. Fitness in Buckhead.
Mm-hmm.
That's psycho behavior. That's serial killer behavior. Because that's not working out to be like, hey, ladies, take a look at me. Here you go. Hey, fellas, look. Yeah, I'm putting in that work. That's like, no, I'm ready to be an assassin. Harry Lyles is out here training to kill people.
Look at his face. Who would suspect him? He's
exactly. Yeah.
He'd be a perfect assassin.
The baby-faced one. Yeah.
Why don't you just lean into this and just show baby up and be like, hey, I need graphics. King. I need graphics to just, here's my donk rankings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about specific architectures. Uh-huh. We'll be like, look, little weak on the underbutt, but man, this sucker's coming out high on separation.
The flying
the
buttresses.
That's why they call it a buttress. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, there we are. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of people will tell you front butt's not butt. They're wrong. All butt is butt.
You're going to do it.
I thought I was going to say the most disturbing thing. But you did
why?
It.
I'm why? So,
yeah. What made you think that?
That's stupid.
That's stupid.
I'm all hopped up on Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken. Of course I've been talking about butts.
I'm out here to talk about the good old days when we made animals jump off of tall platforms with girls on their backs.
When we let animals jump off of them.
All animals want to.
Yeah, by the way, the girl wasn't the one running off that platform, by the way.
Was this back in the day when, like, real animals did these things in movies?
Oh,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So this was the Humane
daughter.
Society was not on set.
No.
I was a child at the time. I haven't seen it. I don't know. Like, sorry.
A society that was like, the girl wants to do it? Wow.
This was peak Disney, too, because this was like the year before they put out the Three Musketeers movie that had Oliver Platt as a musketeer.
This is Rocketeer-ish Disney.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Oh, my God. Disney has never been better.
So imagine the Rocketeer, except the rocket.
Cinema
it's a horse jumping
better.
Off a dock.
Yeah.
And the dock is very high, like a rocket would be.
And Gabrielle Anwar's like, how do I look? And Cliff Robertson's like a hood ornament.
Be like, after this, you won't. Yeah.
After this, you'll fight crime with the power,
of
hearing.
Because it severs her optic nerve.
Ladies and gentlemen of the convention, I will not stop until I have placed a girl on the back of a pony across every city in the United States. In every home, there will be a pony leaping into the oblivion.
RFK Jr. is here, everybody.
Vaccines aren't real and horses crave the void.
There's the episode title.
Aaron Rodgers is taking
Aaron Rodgers is like, that's true, 100%, man. 100%. So fucking true.
You know, I've been, I talk to says the same thing.
I've been smoking crushed up horse.
Oh.
It's been fueling my workouts.
A lot of things make sense now that didn't make sense a few minutes ago.
Aaron Rodgers, do you mean glue?
No.
No.
Are you talking about glue?
Nope.
No.
Just like mashed potatoes, you know? Just like hammer the horse from above until... I would inject it, but it's a little thick.
I'm sorry, Spencer. You were saying how you were going to say the weirdest thing today?
You know how you can inject air bubbles into a person and create an embolism and kill them?
Sure. Uh-huh.
How much mashed potatoes could you put into a person's bloodstream before it just thickened the whole...
If you are a doctor who listens to the Shutdown Fullcast, please email us with the answer. How much mashed potatoes could your blood hold?
Will kill a person. What would happen?
Do you think it's a little?
There is a Reddit discussion on this. What would happen if you injected mashed potatoes into your arm? Unfortunately, this was not done at They Did the Math subreddit, so there is no actual answer.
This isn't trash.
Okay.
They Did the Math would do the math.
Yeah, this is, by the way, why Reddit is now essential. Google's ass. So now the most relevant search result you get will be user 6969420 Thunder Thighs Boy saying, actually, I figured it out.
I'm actually a nurse practitioner.
Yeah. Like, it will be, right?
Like, it'll be like, yeah, I dropped out of med school, but I did do my doctorate on this exact thing.
Yeah.
And it's free if you want it.
Yeah. Turns out there was this one crew of submarine guys in World War II that experimented with this, and their numbers are shocking, guys.
Also, here's some anime.
Yeah.
It's on the same thing.
The files of the Tater Squad were never released to the public.
It's like the least impressive Lee Marvin
World
War II movie.
But believe me, they turned the tide for the US of A.
Oh, the Tater Boys. Iwo Jima wouldn't have been the same without them.
That's actually what universal O-type blood is meant to designate. It's just Orida.
It's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking
through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy, and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called The Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right. Even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute because GameTimes.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
So as a natural segue out of that,
Spencer wanted to say some nonsense about helmet communication. Maybe not.
I think we're past that, and I at least want to start the draft, and it's 2:25. Okay, so.
All right, fine.
We can talk about
executive decision.
We can do a football episode.
If you want to listen to football talk, go to Split Zone 2. Here to talk about horses and other shit.
If you want to listen to football,
I got to
fuck off.
What's going on this week that would make us want to talk about football? We didn't even talk about the Charity Bowl.
That's true.
It's draft week, so we're drafting.
Draft day, baby.
Hollywood, are we drafting?
We are going in the order that I see you on my screen, only I'm going to reverse two of you because Spencer is the terroristic architect of round five, and so I want him to have the chance to have his pick stolen.
Okay.
We are not going to serpentine. The draft order we are taking is Serber, Spencer, Ryan, me, Jason, based on the order I see on the screen.
Wow.
All right. We are drafting in a quest to determine the most inane thing we could possibly draft this year. I first settled upon shapes, then kind of figured out there aren't that many shapes, really, without getting into a lot of the Latin. So we're going to the next best thing, and we're going to draft colors. The entire hex board is your draft board. You have all been presented with a list of every hexadecimal color, and it's sometimes terrifyingly whimsical name. And then when we get to draft five, we will pause for a concession that we have made to Spencer in order to keep him from scuttering this entire thing. Buddy, do you think you can wait that long?
I can wait that long.
This is an exercise in delayed gratification. We have one marshmallow right here, and that's you ruining
the
show.
I want the marshmallow!
You don't get tablet time.
You can ruin the show right now, or you can ruin the show twice in like 10 minutes.
I'm going to hold off.
Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody has their boards. Serber, with first pick in the Shutdown Full Cast Color War Draft. Take it away.
I just want to get the most out of my pick. I'm going to pick Maximum Purple.
Strong. Can you explain your choice?
I like purple a lot. Purple happens to be my favorite color. Mm-hmm. This is the most maximum version of it. I wanted to get the most purple for my first pick.
All right. Makes sense. The color of kings.
Yes. My middle name is Ray, which I think means king, I think.
Maybe. I say an alternate also. With the second pick. Spencer, pick a color.
I am going to take Robin Egg Blue.
Sorry about the blue pun, but that's a Tiffany pick there.
It is. It is. And blue is my favorite color. I also think Robin Egg Blue is, I have to admit, it's more of a skill player and less of a glue guy.
Okay.
All right. You're not going to base a whole lot of things on it, but I think Robin Egg Blue is going to add a lot to the team, so to speak. Okay. So I'm gonna go ahead and take that, not as a base, but as a skill player in round one.
Fellas, are we buying this?
It feels obvious.
Ryan, you look skeptical.
It feels obvious. It feels like a real basic bitch move. Like,
Spencer being obvious. Yeah.
You're decorating an Airbnb. Not impressed.
Oh, Ryan, out of the gate with the heat.
Ryan, I bet you don't even read the instructions. I bet you didn't put the curtains in the washer when you were done. I bet you went through the gate after midnight. I heard that.
You saw it? You saw it on the mini cams.
This deposit is fucking mine.
That's fine.
Oh, Ryan, fortunately, it's your pick and you are able to answer.
Sir, I also choose purple as my favorite color. And you've made an excellent choice that I'm going to have to try to recover from by selecting Palatinate purple.
Ooh. Mm.
This is the purple.
A historical purple.
Associated with the city and county of Durham, but the one in England.
Also with the Furman Paladins?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Palatinate purple.
A lesser purple had I ever seen one.
Listen, I thought about taking medium purple just to show how restrained. I don't need maximum purple.
Listen, nobody needs that.
I mean, what do you do when somebody takes what's on your draft board? Do you just go get the best player available, or do you try to get an imitation of it? Server, I'm with you. I think you took the player he wanted.
Spencer, do you genuinely think that, or are you just mad that Ryan called you a basic bitch?
I am punditing as hard as I can right now.
He's practicing.
I am practicing. And you're just going to see. I think this is a scared GM move. I think this is how you get fired, through cowardice, not through being bold. That's just my two cents here.
Spencer's about to talk shit about Ryan's butt.
Oh, you better
I
not.
Would never.
You better
I
not.
Would never. You seen that caboose? That's solid American product right there. That's the Pullman passenger car of asses, okay? Carries in comfort.
Plush.
Iconic.
All right, with the fourth pick of the first round of the Color War draft, I am treading that line between bold, bossy, and outright shrill. Folks, the 90s are back, and I am taking cyan.
Wow. Whoa. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was as the 90s taught us, is one of the eight colors. Mm-hmm. It's like red, green, yellow, that?
What a perfect description.
And
magenta.
I feel like I'm playing ski free right now.
Look. I'm going to go in and I'm going to log into all your Apple IIe's and I'm going to change all the sounds to Wild Eep.
Whatever color Doc Martens were. That's it.
A thing I
Colors
do.
Of the 90s.
There have never been cyan Doc Martens.
I bet there are, actually.
Those are aftermarket, though. Like, they don't make those.
My Tim's were pretty close. You know what? They are aftermarket, but Kick's crew does have some cyan Doc Martens.
Like, there's some green ones, but if you find one that's been done up in turquoise or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, check out the chat. I found some real ones. I don't know.
I don't know if the color matters, but they all stole my lighter.
I think this reinforces your decision, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, honestly, I think this is an amazing pick. This is like when you draft a franchise left tackle.
It is an amazing pick. I agree. Yeah. All right. All right, Jason, close out our round and let's go. And by the way, we are serpentining because I am a creature of habit. Serpentine to avoid detection, so you are picking twice.
Yes.
Having been in Ann Arbor, Michigan this past weekend, a particularly celebratory weekend for numerous reasons, one being the conclusion of the Charity Bowl that raised $1 million this time. For some reason, the locals were very proud of that. I have to go with the most honorable, noble, academic, virtuous, generous, kind-hearted, and humble color, which is, of course, maize.
Oh, strong.
Solid.
And the first veering we've seen into the warm tone. there's a lot of controversy around picking warm tones in the first round, Jason. What led you out under this particular limb?
First of all, being a Michigan alumni, as a brave and bold leader and legend, I don't pay a lot of attention to what Southerners do because I'm better than them. Because I'm from up north. I went to the best public school with the biggest stadium. So that's why, the sun shines on us brightest, even though it's cold up here in Michigan. Is it round two?
It is round two. You want to lead us off?
So I asked my child which color I should select in round two, and she is an artist. She won an award, in fact, for art class this year. She's a very talented little painter. with full command of the entire palette, and the color that she recommended, and I think it's a good choice, is black.
Strong.
So as a child who likes moody music, it's a little surprise she selected that one for us. But
all right, Amazing Black, you're Iowa. Congrats.
Oh shit.
Oh dear.
Well, you're done scoring.
Listen, sometimes the serpentine bites you.
Mm-hmm. Or am I Dusty Rhodes?
Oh,
I can be both.
Daddy.
Folks, I'm going to continue on my historical quest, not to reach too far back into the bag, and it was a reach. It was a real risk. I thought leaving this until the second round, I thought surely someone would snap up the most saturated and beautiful, and I would argue royal color in the spectrum. If I had to be honest with myself, I think I was probably trying to make a little bit of a news hit, of a viral splash with pick one. But my nerves are shot, but it's here on the board, and I am taking it. Cerulean, come on home.
Mm-hmm.
Go Gators also, unfortunately.
It's a good blue.
It's the only team I know of that uses that actual blue in their jerseys. And by God, does it look beautiful on television?
It really does. It really
does. I managed to hold off on my own personal favorite color until now, but oh, baby, come to mama.
Holly, I think with these two shades you've selected, it feels like you're painting a bathroom.
Huh. It does, doesn't it? This is also where I would argue that this is more of an ultramarine than the ultramarine that is listed in the hex chart. But that's a 25-minute argument from somebody who took too many theatrical lighting classes in college that we don't want to hear right now.
You just said ultramarines in front of Spencer.
Down, da, da, down, da, da, down, down, down. Uh-oh, it's Ryan's turn. Round fire, two.
Fire engine red. Just
a Big Ten pick.
Just a super. I want a tacky color. Fire engine red's a tacky fucking
buddy,
color.
Buddy, I can
see
you.
Are you calling firefighters tacky?
You're in the passenger seat of the engine at the station. Your mom just gave them. Yeah, your mom just gave them some muffins. You're going, I'm a big boy.
Yeah, yeah. I had two popsicles. That was a mistake.
Our nap time's ruined. He's gonna this be running
laps. What Brian sounds like.
It is when he has two popsicles and they put him in the fire engine.
Woo!
That's what I sound. That's what anyone sounds like when they have two popsicles. I'm old. You put me in this, like, the seat, I'm going to make that same noise. It'll be great.
Nice deflector. All right, Spencer, in reverse order to round towards the end of round two, what are you taking for your second pick?
I need a fundamental here since I went skill player color in the first one. So I really need to shore up the base here. I need something that can work with a lot of colors. I need someone who I know is a good teammate and really won't, you know, do all that Caleb Williamsing where, you know, they're painting their nails and wanting attention. That's why I'm going to go with Tuscan Brown. Tuscan Brown.
Yikes.
We need a good fundamental interior color. So we're going to start there. Also,
okay,
because
Diane
I'm a
Lane.
Yeah, because I'm American, I inherently trust anything you call Tuscan, even if it's not actually Tuscan.
Dangerously close to Twilight Lavender on the board there. Do you have any character concerns?
So now we're veering from Airbnb to Pier 1 Imports, so...
Listen, I got all kinds of flavors of basic bitch.
My man is coming out of there with those rolls of wallpaper board that just have bunches of grapes on them.
I'm flipping this shit, Ryan.
Yeah, but flipping is supposed to go forwards in time.
It doesn't have to. It's a back. I'm a backflip.
No way.
Oh my God, we've invented retro flipping.
No, I'm selling
house this tankers.
Shit. I'm selling this shit in the 2011 Phoenix suburbs, and it's gonna cook.
I added textured wallpaper. Fuck you.
For the Spokane Airport right now. Serbert, close out round five for us. Dazzle us.
I've been thinking about this one. Pretty hard. I've had a lot of time to think. And I think I need a bookend for maximum purple.
Sure.
And that would be dark purple.
Whoa. All
right. I also thought about going all purple, but I'm glad Server's doing it instead.
Mm-hmm. Server, are you worried you're not gonna be multiple enough with these choices?
No, not at all. Did you ever see Prince use any color other than purple?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What?
Yes,
what
color? At the Super Bowl.
Yep.
What did he use?
Yep.
Not purple.
He was a bright orange. Yeah. But still, I think the point stands.
Well, you combine those, they all make purple.
Don't look it up.
Everyone knows purple is the combination of all colors.
Yeah, kidding me?
I mean, that's what mixing everything in a suicide at the Coca-Cola King. Drink thing tells me.
That's true. That is the ultimate science purple. Lab, I think.
Yeah, no. Listen, I have the best version of purple and the evilest fucking version of purple. Like,
another
come at me, other purples. What do you got to say, Malve? it's my pick again, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I'll take Malve. It's a cool color.
Oh, wow. Anyone who might have been thinking about trading up because they're like, ah, I hope he doesn't snipe Malve from me. I'd better make a trip. And that was excellent. Excellent gamesmanship on your part.
Yes, Server. Are you stocking for a trade? What's happening here? Tell us your thinking.
Man, I remember that episode of Hey Arnold with the Malve Avenger when he had the race car called the Malve Avenger.
Yeah,
that mainly was motivated by that episode. Sure. That pretty much just that. That's the only reason. And it's kind of purple. It's purple.
Can't argue with that.
Light purple.
Oh goodness, who's next? It's Spencer.
I am going to take. You know what? I'm going to go a little off script here just because I like the color. Salmon pink. Salmon pink, come on down. I think you're worth a third rounder.
I think that's.
I'm sorry. That's a trash pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a trash pick.
That's fine. That's fine. You know what? The record is going to speak for itself.
That's cat food.
Cat food is a delicious, delicious thing for some species. And also, I think, an excellent color for shirts.
Why did you go salmon pink instead of salmon?
I just like the salmon pink shade a little bit better. Also, Ryan, maybe some of us are just trying to, you know, Tommy Bahama this bitch up. I'm trying to sell it. Some people want the islands. And what says island better than a cold water fish?
Alaska has islands.
That's true. I didn't say what kind of islands, right? Shutter Island's an island, technically.
Mm-hmm. God. Jesus.
Who's next?
I think it's me. God, there's so many to choose from. I think I want a green in this round, and I'm tempted to go with a classic of some sort. Hunter green is nice, but I think I'm going to go with a real bonkers. No, I'm going to just steal from Cerber. Give me maximum green, please.
Wow. Damn.
Maximum green is a linebacker.
Yes. Yes.
Maximum green on the tackle.
Is it too late to brand this our 420 show?
It's not inappropriate.
No. I'm going to go, I'm sorry, I need to practice punditry, Ryan. By the way, this is what you say when you don't know anything about that pick.
Uh-huh.
You know what? I hear great things about him.
Thank you.
Good team player. Really productive at... Shuffles papers. San Diego State.
I talked to his coach recently. His coach is a great guy.
He made a big jump from last year to this year.
Yeah. It's a project.
He got drafted just now on TV. Behind me.
I was there. Mm-hmm.
With me here. And that's big for him.
I've heard of him. As of now.
I like what he brings to this team. Arms, legs, blood.
Presumably.
Mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes. Yeah. His veins flow with starch. And that's what you need. I'm going to give you what Dominique Foxworth would say in this moment. Y'all, I don't know anything about this guy.
Wow.
Dominique would just straight up be like, nah, no clue.
As a brief aside, I did like that Sean Payton, I think last week, was like, our team spent 2 hours yesterday talking about analytics ahead of the draft. And people just started dropping in sports movies that run like Moneyball's 2 hours, 17 minutes.
We watched Free Willy. It was triumphant.
Sean Payton runs the annexation of Puerto Rico.
There is something beautiful about Sean Payton being like, cool, I've done 2 hours of analytics training. I'm ready. I've mastered this.
I'm so tired now. Can I have a popsicle?
+3 in math. Let's go. 2 popsicles for Sean. Sean.
Sean, we'll let you get in the cab.
I mean, we're literally talking about a former Little League coach here.
Yeah.
That's what he did. He watched the fucking Kevin James movie about himself.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
Fuck, I did great.
Just put in the Lego movie and it's like, I'm ready to draft. Everything
the power is
awesome.
Within me. That's the analytics.
Everything is awesome when you're part of a team.
Speaking of people who have no business drafting for an NFL team, I am ready for my round 3rd pick. In which I'm going to keep riding this this late 20th century hot streak. I wanted a hybrid choice. I wanted somebody who could play both ways between green and yellow, and I am going with Volt.
Ooh. Damn, that pairs very nicely with Cyan.
Thank you. I just realized I'm building the Seattle Seahawks, and now I have a lot different feelings about this than I did a while ago.
You're going to have an awesome laser tag arena.
Thank you. That's
I am excited.
All right. Jason, finish out round 3 for us.
So this name just jumped out to me. I hadn't been planning on making a purple, particularly a dark purple, one of my 5. I already have black, the darkest color, in my opinion. But the name of this one just really spoke to me, so I'm going to go with it. Cyber Grape.
Yo! That's... If there's a sleeper hit to be declared this early, that might be it.
I don't know what's cyber about it, but...
I just heard it in Ice-T voice. The kids are calling it a
cyber grape. Cyber Grape.
What's disappointing is there's one below it called Cyber Yellow, and I don't understand why it's not Cyber Grape and Cyber Lemon. What happened? Why does Yellow not get that respect?
They don't like to talk about it. Don't bring it up
again.
I guess
so.
I thought about Cyber Yellow, but I already have a yellow. The best yellow.
Sure.
You said you were picking based on name, and I was wondering if any of you have seen the final element on chart.
Yes, I have.
Okay,
I
have. You know the one I'm talking. Okay, can we say it on 3?
One, two, three.
Fuzzy
Wuzzy. I thought you meant the final one.
I thought you meant Fuzzy Wuzzy.
No, I saw... All right.
There's Fuzzy a color Wuzzy. Named fucking Fuzzy Wuzzy that hasn't been taken yet.
The absolute last Folks, one on
consider
list.
This
on,
our, consider this our next best available segment.
On the very last link, the end to Z link on Wikipedia, the last color is called Zomp. Z-O-M-P.
What the hell?
I thought that's where you were going. Fuzzy Wuzzy's very good too, but they're in very different directions. The one above Fuzzy Wuzzy is also confusing, but I don't want to say it.
Yeah, I almost drafted that just to see if I could make y'all uncomfortable.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, Jason. It's round 4.
Oh, it's me again. Let's see here. I definitely had one that I was eyeballing. Oh man.
Oh, are we pulling a Vikings? Uh-oh.
You're falling apart.
I have
here.
One if his clock runs out.
Maximum blue green.
There we go.
Which one is it? Maximum blue or maximum green? Is it the maximum combinationness? Like is the most integrated color you could possibly have?
That's correct.
Yeah, with
that's
all the blue and green sliders turned all the way up, this is what you get from the resulting spray.
Jason is quietly harvesting colors for his energy drink line.
What else are they before?
Corporate espionage. All right, with the 4th pick in the Shutdown Forecast Color War Draft, round 4, Team Me selects, we're going to run on hyphenate, folks. I am taking red purple, my first purple.
Mm-hmm. It's 2 colors at once.
It's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Again, I'm going for, with 2 very strong, very, very set in their ways, traditional picks in the first 2 rounds, I'm going for high-value hybrids here in the later rounds.
Could play both ways, yeah.
Folks, if you learn absolutely nothing from this episode, please learn how anyone can be a draft expert. Please learn how anyone can be a draft expert. Because we decided we were doing this like 2 hours before the show. Just like the real draft.
That is how the real draft works. Nobody knows.
No, it is.
Yeah.
Or Spencer, except we need Spencer. What day is the draft?
The draft begins on Thursday.
When do you have to get to Connecticut?
Thursday.
Okay.
Cool. When should you get to Connecticut? Where, the day hey, you need
where,
to be there.
Where is the draft this year?
The draft is in Detroit.
That's why they're going to Connecticut.
Yes. Could be doing that in Bristol.
Oh, man, that's actually worse. I shouldn't say that. Hey, it's surely somebody's turn by now. Ryan! Brown Forest, baby.
This is a little too on the nose considering the subject matter, but I'm going to pick Honolulu Blue.
Yo!
Which is, tribute. Of course, the blue of the Detroit Lions.
I was going to say it's little known, but that must be why.
I love that the Lions have Honolulu.
What two places hey man, are most alike?
They can stare up at the ceiling of the dome and dream.
The announcement they did for their new uniforms, it was like tough, rugged, Midwestern, wholesome, Honolulu.
This is the hula I am doing to G-Max song about the Detroit sign. This is the hula dance I am doing to the other song about G-Max sign. Song. His sign diss.
Well, to what will surely be momentarily everyone's regret, it is Spencer's fourth pick.
You know, some of you don't respect FCS football, and I see that. I need a green, but I also want to show my respect for
Sacramento
FCS football.
State green.
That's correct. I'm going to get Sacramento State green. I'm sure somebody else had it on the board. Sorry, we're just faster and better, like the football players at Sacramento State.
Sacramento State green is Pakistan green that doesn't want it enough.
Big Sky.
Sorry.
Big Sky Conference. Best conference.
Server. Round four.
I realized when I said Prince never knew anything but purple, I made a grave error. So my next two picks will make sense if I just say them both. I'm taking turquoise blue and...
I'm sorry, Cerber. We only have time for one pick because...
What? Yeah.
Oh.
I'm sorry, folks. That sound means it's time to accede to Spencer Hall's terroristic pregame demands. We will
also
be
also like the NFL draft.
So Cerber does get turquoise. Is that right?
He does get turquoise. Okay. But he's going to have to change his next pick because for the duration of round five and round five only, we will, by demand again of Spencer Hall, who is making us do this, draft characters from the seminal 1990s television program News Radio.
Cast members, yes.
All right, Cerber.
Are there any rules attached to this?
No. If they have a credit on IMDb as having appeared in the show, it can be a cameo. It can be a series regular. Okay. If you want to pick Andy Dick and have the rest of us yell at you for the entirety of the rest of the episode, that's totally up to you.
Uh-huh.
But otherwise, no.
Okay.
Fly free. There are many, many fine choices despite the small core cast of the show. But Spencer doesn't have first pick. That would be Michael Cerber.
Nice. Good. Kids in the Hall, Dave Foley.
It's all right. Now, how do you feel, Cerber, how do you feel about taking Dave Foley for a News Radio draft based on his work in another program? Are you sure that's going to translate?
I've never watched News Radio, so that's my best chance.
I think this is a good pick. They put a lot on Dave Foley's plate in this show.
Like, you know
he's,
what?
He's the heart of the team.
It does
is he
take
the program...
a lot.
Is he like the station manager, the program director?
It does. Well, more importantly, like emotionally, he has to play the straight man among a roster of the most brilliant comedians of the age, or some cases ever. And he does that, I think, admirably.
Yeah,
that's just what he did in the Kids in the Hall, except he usually just had like a wig on.
I was going to say, there's actually an element here that won't be used. It's sad that there is a tool in Dave's like skill set that won't be utilized on News Radio, and it's that when he dresses up like a lady, he looks like an absolute babe.
Yeah, he's really pretty.
He's stone cold fox.
There's a whole sequence in the documentary, the Kids in the Hall documentary, where everyone's like, "Yeah, people thought Dave was really really hot."
it's just they need to utilize that. Joe Rogan would be like, "That girl looks a lot like Dave."
God. Yes, children, News Radio did contain an early Joe Rogan, some cases playing himself.
Unclear.
You know, we had, like we said, it also contained Andy Dick, and I don't think anybody at the time had any way of knowing what Joe Rogan would go on to inflict upon all of us. That's just my way of apologizing for history. But if we started apologizing for history, you know, where would we stop?
It's fair.
Mm-hmm. So why start? Spencer, take your goddamn news radio pick so we can get back to the draft of our serious business.
More attorney! More attorney! Franchise player that we stole in the fifth round.
Yep.
To be clear, when we started suggesting draft ideas, no matter what, Spencer wanted to draft Mara Tierney in every round. And so adding a news radio round was our way of holding him off. I'm really proud of you, buddy. Here's that second marshmallow.
That feels so good. I'm going to take that second marshmallow.
That marshmallow.
Now I'm going to go sit in the fire engine.
Ryan.
There's also school bus yellow.
Ryan, take your news radio pick.
This is going to be a guest. I'm definitely picking a guest star.
There's a couple.
Like, Stephen Root is who I want to pick.
Mm-hmm. That's a regular, sir.
I know. Yeah, I'm going through the regular. Stephen Root and Phil Hartman.
That's also my pick. If you want to steal,
I would want to take, but I wanna. No, I want to zag.
Okay.
I think I want to zag here.
All right.
And I'm going to go with John Ritter.
Oh, the
John
Ritz.
Ritter, who appeared on one episode in 1995, playing a character named Dr. Frank Westford. Just big John Ritter fan over here. Mm-hmm. Anytime I can get the Ritz on my team, I'm doing it. I'm putting on the Ritz.
No, 100%. You can't say no to that. However, this now makes it my pick, and you bypassing my pick of Stephen Root mm-hmm. makes me concerned that there is something wrong with Stephen Root's
knees. He's tumbling. He's tumbling.
What are his medicals?
Stephen Root smoking weed that the cat's mask.
That I don't know about. So,
he did go to Florida.
I am dropping down out of the main cast to take recurring artist Patrick Warburton as Johnny Johnson, sure. later known as The Tick.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because
and Putty.
If you were to demonstrate more versatility in the open field than those roles, I don't know what it would be.
Yeah, Brock Sampson himself, good pick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It does leave a lot of it. I can't believe we're to the end of the news radio round and Stephen Root and Phil Hartman are both still on the board. But Jason, what are you going to do for us?
Let's see. I don't remember whether I ever saw the show or not. I don't remember which one was this and various other 90s shows that I probably flipped past.
Silly Man in the City.
Norm MacDonald is on the board.
Yes.
Tone Loke is on the board.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
But considering the time in which this show aired, the single person on this list who most would have gotten me to stop changing channels, of course, would be Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
please read Tiffany Amber Thiessen's character name because it is perfect.
I only copied my big board into my notes pad here. I don't have that information.
Her name is Foxy Jackson.
That probably would have made me pause the remote control even more quickly.
How is that not a show in and of itself? How is there not like a 3-episode Fox series that didn't work called Foxy Jackson?
Canceled immediately.
Let's just go.
It's just to get adolescents to stop changing channels, and then there's nothing going on.
Now I'm just gonna drop in one photo. Please look how absolutely terrifying Dave Foley looks behind her.
Oh boy! Oh boy!
Is this guy bothering you, Tiffany?
Hello,
m'lady.
Good evening.
You can't fool me. That's a vampire.
You know what? You know what Dave's saying. He goes, "I could rock that outfit way better than you could."
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
It's like, bitch, you cut bangs.
It was a different time.
All right. With Spencer's reign of terror ended, we are returned to round 6.
Why don't we throw out Spencer and then not tell him what the 6th round is?
Oh, is he going to auto draft?
He doesn't need auto draft. His colors suck. God, his colors suck so bad.
They do. God, what a palette.
That's not fair. I'm colorblind.
No, you're not.
You know how many little army bands you've painted perfectly?
You don't have taste. That's not the same thing.
Spencer has selected the colors of like a badly run Marshalls that you go in and you're like, what's on the rack?
Please don't insult my culture.
Why is there a smashed McDouble on the floor?
Stone Cold Spencer Hall.
No, all right, go ahead. Pick one more color, dummy.
I'm going to throw a little curveball at y'all here that no one will see coming.
A hexagon.
God damn it. Right.
What an idiot.
You didn't even pick
what
a fun
idiot.
Shape.
That's not a color.
He sucks so bad.
Shape.
I can't believe I get to say this to you in real life. So close. That is a shape.
Fine.
Leave. You know why you picked a hexagon? Because you need to fucking stop.
You know he picked a hexagon because he put some... Wait a goddamn second. I was going to say he put a wrench in our plans, but yours is so much worse.
That has to be the end of this episode. podcast business. High fructose corn syrup.
Okay. Oh my god, he's got a gun.
Holly.
Darling.
What was the final charity bowl total, if you will?
Oh, way to put me on the spot, Ryan Nanny.
An estimate is
Vamp. Fine. Vamp.
I sound like a vampire.
That's good. That's good.
There's a reason. I have to go look this up for a reason because it's seven whole numbers.
Okay.
So continue to vamp. I have no reflection in the mirror.
I'm done now. Stop vamping. I'm done. Jesus.
Garlic hurts me.
How'd it get worse when Spencer left? Hey, buddy.
He's infected us. Go ahead. Sorry.
Much like the vampire virus.
I like that Cerber's Dracula is sort of like when a neighbor is playing Santa and isn't really committing that hard to it. Uncle Dave, we know it's you, man. Hey, guys, it's Santa. That's not what Santa sounds like, Uncle Dave.
I thought you were doing John
Lovitz.
This
is my Santa accent.
Oh, ho, ho. All right. Sorry.
2024 EDSBS Charity Bundy Bowl fundraising total is $1,171,087. Crossing the million mark. Before 5 days were even done. What the fuck, you guys?
Now, we do have to thank somebody that I know we don't want to thank.
I know.
Do you want to do it or do you want me
to? I want you to do it. I've done enough.
You have done enough. That's fair. Steve and Godfrey put out a promise on Thursday, I think it was.
On Thursday evening, Steve and Godfrey promised to if we hit 700,000 by the end of the night, had promised to record a 30-minute ode to the majesty of the Rose Bowl. And if we got 50,000 more than that, was going to tack on 30 minutes of warm, friendly Michigan talk about Michigan football. You guys, he broke every model we've ever had in terms of what the money did after that.
So thank you, Stephen Godfrey. And I want people to know, Holly, I assume we're going to have some editorial oversight. We're not going to let him fuck his way through this, right?
I don't, in complete and utter seriousness for one fucking minute, I don't think he would do that.
I don't think he would either.
He wouldn't. Also, we haven't put it on the schedule yet, but yeah, it looks like we're going to have to go back to Ann Arbor.
Also, congrats to Protect Trans Kids University.
Woo!
The number four donor.
As Michigan has exploded exponentially on their own scale, so have these other schools. You know, Penn State was not historically a big leader in this program. And we got a bunch of Thon kids on board a couple years ago, and they just started wrecking shit. Georgia, at the singular behest of people like our friend Andrew, our friend Amanda, have pulled themselves.
Amanda threw down a chunk of change herself. God damn. Mm-hmm. And I would like to point out, Amanda's chunk of change is basically the difference between Florida and Georgia.
Sure,
like, she
is.
Single-handedly put the dogs over the
sure
game.
Is. Now, Georgia was passed again this year by Georgia Tech, which is interesting because Georgia Tech was our perennial second place school for a really long time, the only school to even come close to competing with Michigan. And Georgia blew by them last year. And Georgia Tech put in a commanding lead again this year. I think they were ahead of them by like 6 grand. So this is, for the first time in bowl history, Georgia and Georgia Tech is now a real rivalry. And I love that. I love that as our kind of hometown thing. Also, one more shout out if we can to friend of the program, Georgia is a Verb, who put Washington and Lee over Washington by almost 2 grand by himself, and who again put Washington and Lee in the top 10 almost by himself, just out of spite that there are other schools named Washington. Mm-hmm. This, above all other things, is really why this sport exists. Also, it knocked Notre Dame out of the top 10 where they had been hovering for a few years, thanks to the fine work of Mike Golick Jr. And his buddies. We have a Cal Hive composed of longtime EDSBS folks that raised almost $18,000 by themselves. Syracuse and Baylor and Bama are also not historical.
Rutgers did great. Rutgers raised $10,000.
Yeah. Tennessee hit both the metrics I wanted them to hit this year, which is they're in the top 20 and they're over 10 grand, which is what I constitute not embarrassing me. Thank you for not embarrassing me. JMU beat Virginia by just a couple $100s. Oh, that has to hurt. And while we spend most of the Charity Bowl making fun of them, because of where most of the money in the Charity Bowl is coming from, Ohio State almost hit the $10,000 mark by themselves. They have really come along strong.
It also strikes me, and this is probably true most years, but there are a bunch of schools in the, like, call it $1,000 to $1,500 range. Mm-hmm. And, by itself, that doesn't, like, vault you up the rankings that high.
Okay.
But there are so many of them.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Two things. First of all, this is what I mean when I talk about how awesome it is that the other schools are moving up in such masses by itself. Here's the thing about your school, quote unquote, only throwing in $1,000 or only throwing in $6. And here is the thing that I really love about what we do here. And I'm going to try to get through this without crying like a bitch. You're looking at your school on the leaderboard right now. Like, oh, we're in 100th. Let me scroll down. I'm going to pick a $1,000 school just completely at random. Southern Arkansas University is in there for $1,500, which, because we've been doing this for so long, is good for 90th place. Here's why you should be celebrating 90th place. There is a family that touched down at Hartsfield Airport that's going to touch down at Hartsfield Airport at some point over the next calendar year. And when I say they have nothing, they're going to have clothes and airline peanuts in their pockets. And that's it. They might not have diapers for their kids for the rest of the day, you know? And at some point over the next calendar year, they're going to arrive in the United States. They're going to enter this program, and they are going to go to sleep in their own apartment with kids in their own beds with a door that locks for maybe the first time in their lives, in any of their lives. And you did that. That's not in the abstract. You, person from Southern Arkansas, responsible for the $1,500 donation, put down the deposit on that department and paid their rent for the month. You did that. It's right there. Every dollar counts. Did you throw in $6? Hey, here's a kid who didn't have shoelaces yesterday, who has shoelaces to go to gym class this week, you know, to go play in a soccer league this week. You threw in $10. Hey, that's somebody's bus fare to go to work for the next week. This money's all going to people, to specific people. You will never know them. You will never meet them. But the only reason this works is because we're all doing this together. And we put up a fun scoreboard to goose it out of everybody. But I don't ever want to hear the word only applied to anything or anyone who participates in this contest, because I think you should feel that. I think you deserve the opportunity to sit with that.
Go Mule Riders. That's Southern. I had to look it up. Southern Arkansas Mule Riders.
They are. I have a couple of fun stats from our intrepid backroom statistician, Stephanie Lane. The oldest grudge for the second year in a row. We still get a shit ton of Georgia Tech donations hating on that 1916 Cumberland team. The most, I'm asking for people to at me. We had something real weird happen this year. Ohio State's most common denomination of donation is the score by which Michigan beat them last year. Can someone explain to me what happened here?
Wow. That feels like a motivation.
That's the shit you hang in the weight room.
Is this Michigan people sarcastically donating for Ohio State?
That's my other theory.
If they are, nobody gave it away. But Ohio State's most common denomination was last year's score.
But no, I like Jason's weight room theory that this is just like, this is the only number we care about because we won't let it never again. Never again.
This also made Michigan second place in the most spited team, as in the opponent in the highest donated scores, which is always Ohio State. But now this year in second place, it's Michigan. Third most spited team was Oklahoma, followed by USC. The most frequently referenced season that's not last season was 2007. Most frequent donors donating on behalf of 2007 are, of course, App State, Iowa, Florida, and Pitt. And we also have one dedication that I just thought was really... There are dedications, by the way, to all of us here on the show, and I'm going to get those to you guys. It's a big, huge, long list, and I'm going to make sure all these get where they're going. But I wanted to close out with one that I didn't really understand, but I thought was really in the spirit of the thing, from a donor. I don't have a clever amount. I just want to help refugees and let the world know that Toledo is the Muncie, Indiana of Ohio. I couldn't have put it better myself.
Hey, Holly and Spencer, who's not here. Awesome job. $1 million is a shitload of money, and you just fucking blew through.
We blew through it. That's Godfrey. We blew through it on Friday. Like, I thought we would get there by Monday. I thought we would get there. I didn't think we would get there 3 days early. And if you were watching with us on Friday, you saw we had nothing prepared.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh. Like someone with graphic design as their passion in the new AP office made the thank you graphic that had like the ends and the top lopped off the football because they had cut it out of something else that we had done.
That sounds like us.
It was perfectly in the spirit of the thing.
Yeah. Jason, by the time this comes out, there is one more place people can see you at least.
So this recording's release tonight, April 24th.
Yeah.
I am at the University of Alabama. We're doing a book thing in the English building, room 301 at 7 p.m. Central, with Mike Altman and Van Newell, religious studies and English professors, respectively. And then we're going to the bar.
Woo! Wait, are you going to Bose?
We're going to Secret Bar. You better come to the Bama thing so you can find out which bar we're going to.
No one could possibly figure out.
No one could possibly guess based on the fact Bo has announced it. But
oh my God. God help them. They're going to Innisfree.
Otherwise, you should pay attention to, I guess, the forecast on various social media platforms. Yeah.
We have announcements. That's right.
Well, I'm not going to tell people what I will. Mm-mm. I will tell people this amount of information. We are announcing three live shows soon. Those live shows cover, technically it's not three different time zones, but it's more.
Wait, is it not?
The
first one's not?
The first one's Eastern time.
That's gonna fuck me up.
It's really pushing the definition.
But it's basically Central Time.
I don't understand that at all.
It doesn't make any sense.
It seems fake.
It doesn't make any sense. One of them is a West Coast show. We haven't done a West Coast show.
You're welcome.
We have a West Coast show coming. Tickets for these things are not on sale right now. Don't ask us where they are, because they're not, as of right now, when we're recording this, they're not on sale. Mm. When will they be on sale? I don't know. Pretty soon. Keep an eye out. That's all I can tell you.
Also, three cities we've never been to before, although we are repeating one state. Why is that? Because we were invited. Don't yell at us.
Yes, I had to do the math there. Based on where we're going, I think the most out of luck people are listeners in New Mexico. Probably that's the ones who have the longest
or haul. Maine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although okay. I don't know if I would. In terms of eventually like filling in the board, we've done multiple Texas shows.
Oh yeah, sure. I just want people to know if you're an excited New Mexico listener, being wow, three live shows. Surely one of them is close to me. I'm sorry. Not this time.
If you're a West Coast listener, figuring out how to do these so that we do not end up losing a shit ton of money is really, really hard.
Don't jinx it.
On the West Coast.
Don't jinx it. Listen. We might.
No, listen.
What
I'm saying is jump on this one because we don't know how often we're going to be able to do this.
Yeah.
And we really, really wanted to because we've always wanted to. But, you know, travel is exorbitant and our listener base is smaller out there. We heard you. We're coming, but y'all better fill this room.
I think that's all we'll say for now. But like very, very soon, I'm also going to put it on preownedairboats.com, our merch site. We'll throw a page up there for you to see where the live shows are and tickets. Again, if you go there today, there's nothing there. There's nothing for you. Calm down. You need to calm down.
I want to buy a bladder pill sticker.
Take 3D breaths.
If you're not seeing it, ask Ryan why.
That's right. No. Ask me. Come up to me personally. Holly will give you my address. You can come to my house. You can knock on the door. You say, where are the live show tickets?
Because
I'll find anybody. That's why.
I'm too afraid of Ryan's wife to give you your address. But I'll give you Godfrey's address.
He's got feral children.
That implies that I'm not afraid of Annabeth, and I totally am. Sorry, Annabeth.
Plus, we're thanking Godfrey. This is the episode where we're thankful to Godfrey.
He's just so handsome and generous. I hate it.
Hard to do. Okay, I think that's all. Is there any other podcast business?
I just realized that Godfrey blew the back out of the charity bowl.
Go listen to Killer Ants on Spotify or other music platforms that won't actually pay Cerber that much, if any, money. But it's nice to listen to Killer Ants music anyway.
We're a little bit behind, but I think we've made like $35.
Hell yeah, brother.
Which is really cool. Now, if this was like 2011 when I sold CDs at my shows and as many people had listened to my music as then I would have a lot more money. But
I have a CD player in my car, so you should sell them.
Yeah, I'll burn you a disc.
My car is 10 years old. My car is 10 years old, so give me your music.
I still have a CD player. Is it weird? Like I bought like an external disc drive because I still do mix CDs.
I think that's awesome.
Like sometimes I don't want to do the I don't want to do the phone. I don't want to listen to one album and like I don't want to do a playlist I've curated.
I will get a physical media rent going, but I don't love the idea of renting songs.
Mm-mm. No.
That's fair.
Mm-mm. I'd rather pay you for the thing.
Okay, I think that's it.
Listen to Hand in the Dirt. Follow them at Hit D-Pod. We may or may not have a big announcement coming up soon as well.
How dare you? How dare you?
Not to steal the thunder.
We're not going to sell a single fucking ticket now.
You're going to bury us like so many tulip bulbs.
I'll never show up at any location that's hosting Hand in the Dirt. That's for sure.
Any club that would welcome them.
Instagram just suggested that I follow Felder's mom. What do you guys think I should do?
I'll karate chop Steven Hartzell right in the throat. That's what I'll do.
I want to follow
the
Felder's
ground
mom.
Croaking, I'm not a karate guy. No, wait. Hartzell knows Krav Maga. You got to pick somebody else.
He doesn't do Krav Maga. No, he didn't even know what it was. And we told him what it was.
Taekwondo, that's different. Oh,
wait. How did Krav Maga become like a year-long running meme on that show?
Because the kids were taking Taekwondo, and Felder was like, well, have you looked into Krav Maga? And he said, Krav Maga sounds like Tim McGraw's cousin. Krav Maga.
One level, Chris Gaines' final evolution.
Chet Hanks of the
Shang Tsung, Krav Maga.
Chet Hanks.
And Hartzell goes, what is that? And then we informed him. That it's Jewish karate. And he was like, oh, I'm Jewish. It's like, yeah, we thought you knew.
Krav Maga is what you have to learn to face Morgan Wallen on Broadway.
I thought you just had to be a police officer.